The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views of News Radio 830 KHVH, its staff, or management.
Now it's time for the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. This is your weekly informative hour all about eyes. Learn about cataracts. Ask a question about glaucoma. Find out how diabetes affects your eyes. Stay tuned for an entertaining and educational program about eyes and eye care. Call in to have your questions answered by the doctor. Now, your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Good morning, everyone. It's time once again for our regular weekly program about eyes and eye care. It's called the Hawaiian Eye Show, and it's sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. We're going to be here for the next hour talking about glasses and bifocals, about laser beams and eye surgery. We can talk about your cataracts or your contacts, itchy eyes, droopy lids, or whatever it is that interests you. If you'd like to join in today, give us a call. Our number here, 521-8383. We'd love to hear about your experiences and answer your questions. If you can't call in today or maybe you're feeling shy, you can always email your questions to us. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com, and we can answer those questions over the air in coming weeks. Look us up on the web while you're online. It's www.hawaiianeye.com. You can find radio shows from the past several months there online and right on our website, hawaiianeye.com. Click the radio button on the front page, and that'll take you to a list of recent radio programs you can listen to as much as you want. You can also subscribe to our podcast so you get the radio program podcasted to you each week. So let's see. You can also find us on Twitter, twitter.com/Dr. Tortora, D-R-T-O-R-T-O-R-A, or facebook.com/Hawaiian Eye Center. During the next hour, we'll discuss eye news from around the country and around the world. Sometimes we'll do an eye quiz to test your IQ, and we'll have a lot of fun today. Remember, all opinions expressed on this program are those of myself and the other medical doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center. I'm an ophthalmologist, or IMD. That means I'm a medical doctor who specializes in the eyes. Now we're going to try to be very consumer-oriented today, make an effort to give you the best possible practical advice. But remember, I can't see through the telephone, so I may have to recommend an examination to tell you exactly what's going on in your eyes. The Hawaiian Eye Show is sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center as a public service today. So sit back, relax, and enjoy an hour all about eyes. Well, I wanted to just congratulate the team at Hawaiian Eye Center because we were elected, or we were recognized as one of the best places to work in Hawaii. And of our 35 or so employees at Hawaiian Eye Center, they have the honor to be able to work at one of the places that's been actually chosen as one of the best places to work in Hawaii. And so there was a banquet last night that was honoring the Best Places to Work awardees. And we were recognized at that banquet as one of the best places to work. So if you know someone who works at Hawaiian Eye Center, then I suppose they should be counted as fortunate, right? Because they work at one of the best places to work. Let's talk about some of the things that we've come across in the office over the past several weeks. One of the things that's actually quite common here in Hawaii that is not seen as much in other parts of the country, and I was recently on the mainland with some colleagues, and we were talking about some of the different types of conditions that we see on an ongoing basis. And one of the things that we see here in Hawaii that is not quite as common in other places, except perhaps maybe in California or Florida, but it's called pterygium. It's a little growth on the surface of the eye, a vascular growth, makes the eye look red, a little bit irritated, and the surface is becomes a red and vascularized, usually on the inside corner of the eye. And this is a common problem in places where ultraviolet light is an issue. And ultraviolet light from the sun affects the surface of the eye, and that surface irritation from the ultraviolet light causes this little growth to form on the surface. And as it grows, it causes a kind of a red, unsightly, irritated-looking eye, particularly in the area of the pterygium or the growth. Some people call it surfer's eye because it's quite common in surfers, because it's common in people who spend a lot of time out in the sun. So That's something about pterygium. So we'll talk a little bit more about pterygium, how we treat it, what can be done about it, what kinds of things, surgical and non-surgical, may be reasonable to treat it. But let's go ahead and take a call first. We've got Brian standing by in Kaneohe. Hi, Brian. Welcome to the program.
Yes, hello. Yes, I was calling about a pair of glasses that I recently purchased over the internet, prescription glasses.
Mm-hmm.
They came with the transitions, and they came with a it was free, but it was included. It was an anti-glare coating on the lenses. And I was painting, and I got them dirty, and I got them scratched, and it made them almost virtually unusable at all. I mean, if I could not focus on anything, it was, like, unbelievable. I called them up and asked them if I can get it repaired, and they told me it's going to cost me another pair of, I have to buy a new pair of glasses.
Yeah. But, unfortunately, glasses are one of those things that is a little bit difficult to buy online, in the sense that you don't really know what you're getting, and they can, and the measurements that they do, they kind of rely on the measurements that's done by the optical shop. Now we sell glasses and at our Hawaiian Eye Center locations, and one of the things that we've found over the years is those anti-reflective coatings have a very wide range of quality, and some of them, whether even if you don't get them dirty, just by cleaning them regularly, after 6 months, that anti-reflective coating starts to peel and fade chip and make it smudgy looking on the glasses, and basically it makes the glasses much more difficult to use or even useless in some cases.
I found a way to repair it.
Uh-huh.
I read online about Armor Etch.
Uh-huh.
It does not etch plastics or anything, and I tell you what, it made them perfect. They're like brand new glasses.
So probably what it did is it removed that anti-reflective coating, which is fine. Then you just don't have the benefits of the anti-reflective coating, but you have more clear glasses.
Oh, yeah. So. I mean, the glasses are brand new, though. I mean,
good.
It worked really well. I thought the readers might...
what's that stuff called?
Armor Etch.
Armor Etch.
Armor Etch is an etching cream. I got it at Ben Franklin. And you just put it on the glasses and you let it sit for like 4 or 5 minutes. You wash it off with warm water, and then you check for any residue that might be left. And you just hit that with a Q-tip, and you let it sit for another few minutes, and they're like brand new.
And product is designed for cleaning plastic?
No, it's designed for etching glass.
For etching glass.
You have to make sure you don't have glasses. You have like either the plastics, it has to be plastic, the lenses. Otherwise, it will etch them.
All right. Well, that's an interesting observation. Of course, I know nothing about it, so I can't endorse it. But if people want to take your word for it, maybe it'll help them out.
All right.
All right. Thanks for the call.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. So actually, Brian raises a good point because the glasses that you buy online, it's actually kind of difficult to read between the lines and see what the warranties are and what the what happens. And so I think that when you buy something at a brick and mortar store, you have a little bit better recourse, because you can kind of take them back and they can show you what's up or explain to you what their policy is about returns and repairs and so forth. The online shopping is a little more difficult to do that, but I'm glad that he was able to find a solution for that. I don't know if I would try it on a good pair of glasses unless you're thinking about getting rid of it otherwise, because it may work on certain types of plastic, certain types of lenses, but not on others. And so it's a little bit iffy to go ahead and try that, but he was ready to throw out his glasses anyway, so it did work for him. So I'm glad he found something that worked well for him. But it is interesting. I have heard a number of complaints from people who have bought glasses online, and there are a couple of different ways that they can have difficulty. The first is that the measurements that they use in order to make the glasses and center the lens depends on where your eye sits in the middle of that lens, in the middle of that frame. And if your eyes if the measurements that they do are not exactly corresponding to the correct frame, and you have a lens like a a multifocal lens, like a trifocal lens or a progressive lens, and that lens doesn't turn out to be centered for your eyes, then that glass can be very difficult to get used to and to use. And so, of course, you can't really measure the eyes very easily, at least with current technology that I know of, over the internet. I know there are a couple of iPhone apps that are being used now to measure different things about the eyes, and I don't know how accurate they are and whether they are used in making glasses or not. But that is one of the dangers of getting glasses in particular online. The second danger is that it appears that pretty much nothing is warranted with most of these online glasses manufacturers. Of course, you have to check. Each one is different. Each one is a little bit individual. But even doctors that I know who have gone to online ordering programs for their own offices, where they'll actually do the measurements in the office and have the patient order the lenses online, some of those have issues with the warranties that mean that if there is a problem with the glass or if it develops a problem over time, that's not always covered. So that's an interesting thing to keep in mind when you're looking at things to buy online. Now, it's interesting, this whole online marketing thing, because I saw an article over the past week where Best Buy is having some issues with its sales, and in large part that's because of online sellers like Amazon that are selling a lot of TVs. So people are buying their TVs online and having them shipped rather than going to a place like Best Buy where they can go and buy their TVs. So it's interesting that more and more things are becoming available online and people are willing to sort of stretch what they're willing to get online, because some things you want to get sight unseen and some things you may not. All right, let's take a short break. And when we get back, we'll talk a little bit more about pterygium and how that affects the eyes of people here in Hawaii.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
Life has never.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
Life has never looked better with Hawaiian Eye Center.
The Hawaiian Eye Show phone lines are now open. Give us a call at 521-8383 with your questions for the doctor. If you're calling from the neighbor islands, call us toll-free at 888-565-8383. Now, back to your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
All right, welcome back to the second part of the Hawaiian Eye Show, and hope you're enjoying the show. This is Dr. Christopher Tortora. We're talking about eyes, and we'll take some phone calls now and see what people want to talk about. We've got Robert standing by on the line in Honolulu. Hi, Robert. Welcome to the program. Hi, Robert.
Oh, hi, doctor. Yeah. I'd like to ask you about last night, the 6 o'clock news. Yeah, I saw the macular degeneration.
Uh-huh.
The news,
right.
The person, the doctor went fixed his macular degeneration, right?
Well, there are a number of treatments for macular degeneration, but there's also several different types of macular degeneration. So I'm not sure exactly what was on the news last night, but there are the first step, if that's a problem, if the doctor diagnoses macular degeneration in your eye, is to
figure... The person already fixed or already cured. The next one coming up pretty soon, the second patient, He put something inside the retina and connect something to the maybe to the optic nerve or something like that. But,
okay. Well, there's no cure for macular degeneration, no matter what you heard on the show last night. But there are a number of new technologies that are being developed, and I'm not sure what it is that was on last night because I didn't catch the news last night. But
there, 6 o'clock news. Joe Moore's news is at 6 o'clock.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what it was because I didn't see it. But it, but there are, you know, different technologies, and if you have more specific information about it, I can talk a little bit more about it. But it sounds like you may be talking about an implantable device, which is an electronic device that gives back some vision to people who have macular degeneration. It's in the early stages of development, if that's what it is that you're talking about. And this device has been around for the past 5 or 8 years, but it hasn't reached a point yet where it's developed enough that it can be used regularly in people. So it's still in the experimental phases. And it involves implanting an electronic device inside the eye that sends a signal down the optic nerve to the brain to allow...
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I think that's how the thing is, I think.
Right, but it only provides a very limited form of vision. People can see shapes and some large letters and things. They don't get their normal vision back because it's still in the early stages of development. So it is an interesting and promising technology, but it's going to be a number of years before it's really ready to be used on a wide widespread basis.
But one person already fixed already. He can see already.
Right, he can see some better than he could before, but he can't see like a normal person with 20/20 vision. So he can see a little bit better than he could when he had the macular degeneration, but it's not cured. It's not like vision like he had when he was 20 years old. So these technologies are developing, but they're not there yet.
They're probably not perfect. You know,
exactly.
It's just slowly the thing coming back because he cannot see at all.
Yeah,
he's kind of old man, really.
Well, macular degeneration tends to affect older people, so that's expected. So these technologies, these new developments are promising, but there's nothing that's a cure yet. So those of you who have macular degeneration, that doesn't mean that tomorrow you're going to be able to walk into a doctor's office and get a cure, but it does mean that down the road there's likely to be more help for people like that. Well, thanks for your call. Thanks for pointing that out for us.
Thank you so much, doctor.
All right. Aloha. Okay, so macular degeneration is a condition where the central vision is affected. The sharp central vision is often damaged or affected by macular degeneration as you get older. And once that occurs, people lose the ability to recognize faces, to read, to see things that require central vision. So if we can find a way to restore some of the central visual function, then that's certainly something that's an advantage. And there are some researchers in different parts of the world who are looking at electronic and other types of implants that can help to restore in some ways some of the vision that's lost from macular degeneration, but there's nothing that's available today for on a widespread basis. It's all still experimental in the trial phases. You know, the news, whether it's the 6 o'clock news or any other news, is interested in telling you about things that are on the cutting edge, that are, you know, up and coming, that are interesting and promising. So they're usually, when they start talking about some of the new developments in medicine, they're often talking about things that are still in experimental trials, and they're not things that are commonly available to everyone. And it's a little bit misleading sometimes because you see these stories and you say, wow, that's something that you can go out and do today. And I have people come to me often or on a regular basis and say, gee, I saw on TV that nowadays you guys can do this. And the answer is, well, no, we can't really do it yet, but there is some work in that direction that means that we may be able to do something like that in a few years. So it's not always what it seems. So you have to be careful not to be overly enthusiastic about some of the things that you see on TV, because they want to tell an interesting story. That's how they sell advertising revenue and get more people to watch their program, is by telling an interesting story. And so sometimes they'll tell a story about something that is on its way and not arrived yet. So that's just a little take-home lesson there. We were talking about pterygium. Pterygium is a growth on the surface of the eye related to sunlight, to sun damage on the surface over many years. Sun damage from pterygium can occur can occur with sun damage, extensive sun damage over a short time frame. So someone who goes out surfing every day, for example, after a year or two might develop some changes on the surface of the eye that would predispose or become a pterygium. It can also develop over many years with sun damage on a chronic basis, so not a lot of sun damage every day, but a little every day accumulating over the years and developing into a pterygium, to a growth on the surface of the eye over a period of time, maybe many, many years in some cases. And so we see pterygia in younger people commonly who spend a lot of time in the sun. And we also see it in people as they get older who have, over the course of their lives, spent a lot of time in the sun. And basically what you want to do if you're starting to see some kind of irritation or redness, particularly on the inside corner of your eye, that's kind of chronic and ongoing, is you want to make sure, even before you see that irritation, of course, is important, but if you see that, it becomes especially important to make sure that you wear glasses that help protect your eyes from the ultraviolet light or the UV light. So UV blocking sunglasses are the best alternative to help reduce the likelihood that pterygium will get bigger over time. Now, UV blocking sunglasses worn over a lifetime can also help reduce the likelihood of other problems in the eyes, like macular degeneration or cataract. These are things that also seem to be triggered in many cases by ultraviolet light from the sun, particularly over a number of years. And so protecting your eyes from the UV light is important. So you put on a pair of sunglasses, a good pair of sunglasses. It doesn't have to be an expensive pair of sunglasses. It just needs to be a pair of sunglasses that blocks the UV or the ultraviolet light. And there are two forms of commonly recognized UV light. There's UVA and UVB. So you want sunglasses that block 98 to 100% of the UVA and the UVB light. Or if it says 400 blocking lenses, that's also adequate to protect your eyes from the sun. Protecting your eyes from the sun, keeping them well lubricated, putting moisture drops or tear drops in the eyes when they get dried out, is a good way to keep pterygiums from growing or getting larger. But if they get large and are not improved with conservative means like eye drops or sunglasses, then they can be removed surgically. And pterygium removal is something that's done quite commonly in Hawaii surgically. And there are a number of different techniques. You want to talk to your doctor about what technique they have and what the reoccurrence rate is, because these things commonly do reoccur. The technique that seems to have the lowest rate of reoccurrence is doing what we call a conjunctival graft, which is taking a little bit of tissue from under the eyelid and using that to replace the tissue that's removed when we remove the pterygium, and that helps to reduce the chance that it will grow back again. So having a pterygium removed is something that can be done, and you need to make sure that your doctor, it's successful in your doctor's hands if you're going to have that done. Let's go to the phones. We've got Randy standing by in Waianae. Hi, Randy. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Doc. Thanks for taking my call. Listen, I'm 53 years old. I have been using reading glasses for the last 10 years. What I'm experiencing now is a slight blurred vision in both eyes, but it's when I look at things, it's unequal. With my left eye, things appear to be larger. In the right eye, things appear to be smaller. But on the left side, it's more blurred than the right side.
When's the last time you had an eye checkup?
Oh, man, maybe about 10 years.
Well, I think it's time to get back and check again.
Okay. Do you think that condition is correctable?
I have no idea. I can't see your eyes. I can't test your eyes. I don't know from what you're telling me what's up. My guess is you'll put on, you'll need a new pair of glasses, and with the new glasses, you'll see fine, but it could be any of, 100 other things as well. So get an eye checkup and make sure that your eyes are as healthy as possible, and see about updating your glasses at the same time.
Okay, no, so the glasses are only for reading purposes.
Well, you may need them for distance, too. So that's maybe why you're noticing the blur.
All right,
okay.
Thanks a lot.
All right, thanks for the call. Well, that's, if you're in your 50s, probably you should be having an eye checkup every 3 to 5 years at least. And so I think Randy's overdue. So go ahead and get your eyes checked, and hopefully they'll just find that updating the glasses or glasses for distance perhaps will help to improve the vision, and that will that'll everything will be fine. But there are a lot of other things that can cause blurred vision, distortion of vision, different sizes of objects, things like cataract, things like macular degeneration, things like scars on the surface of the eye, irregularity of the tear film, like a dry eye type of condition. So all of these things are certainly associated with a blurring of the vision, depending what we find when we look at the eyes and talk to the patient. We can usually differentiate between them, figure out what's going on, and recommend something that may help to address the symptoms. So that's my advice. Get it checked out. All right, we'll go ahead and take a break and listen to the news. When we get back, we'll talk a little bit about some eye news.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Their experienced surgeons have extensive cataract and general eye care experience. And they proudly welcome their newest eye surgeon, Dr. Stephen Rhee. Dr. Rhee brings a wealth of experience to the Hawaiian Eye Center team. To schedule an appointment with a member of the eye care team, call Hawaiian Eye Center today at 733-2020 or visit the website at hawaiianeye.com.
The news authority in Honolulu is News Radio, 830 KHVH.
It's 73 degrees with a few clouds in Honolulu. I'm Julia Norton Dennis. Here's what's happening. Hundreds of people are gathering at the local police department in Sanford, Florida, to protest the killing of 17-year-old Trayvon Martin by a neighborhood watch volunteer, and they are calling for the arrest of George Zimmerman. Demonstrators walk through Sanford streets carrying signs and wearing T-shirts with Martin's image. Three Mega Millions ticket holders will share a record-breaking $640 million jackpot. That's about $213 million each ticket before taxes. No one has come forward yet, but lottery officials say the winning tickets in last night's drawing were purchased at a 7-Eleven in Baltimore County, Maryland, a convenience store in Redbud, Illinois, near St. Louis, and somewhere in northeast Kansas. The man suspected of running over five people at a Makaha bus stop Thursday night has been charged. 44-year-old Potasi Uta Jr. is charged with first-degree negligent homicide, two counts of first-degree negligent injury, failure to render aid. He's being held on $100,000 bail. A 49-year-old Wayaba Correctional Facility guard was charged yesterday with reckless endangering, promotion of a dangerous drug, and possession of drug paraphernalia. Damon Pavao's bail is $25,000. Pavao fired gunshots Wednesday from his Pearl City home, leading to the two-hour closure of the only access to Pacific Palisades. A man with Alzheimer's disease who was missing has been found. Police say 67-year-old Ronald Volenshear was seen last at 3:30 p.m. Wednesday at his Waianae home. Yesterday, someone spotted him on Queen Street and notified authorities. He's back with his family now. Island weather, sunny, breezy, high in the 80s. Tonight, mostly clear, low near 72. And tomorrow, sunny. Currently in Honolulu, 73 degrees.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers you complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Advanced technology lenses are designed to provide good vision for distance, near and in between, with less dependence on eyeglasses. When cataracts blur vision, a short, painless procedure helps. If you have a cataract and want back youthful vision, call Hawaiian Eye Center at 733-2020 or visit hawaiianeye.com.
The phone lines are now open at 521-8383. On the neighbor islands, it's a free call, 1-888-565-8383. And now, here's Dr. Christopher Tortora.
All right, welcome back, and you're listening to the Hawaiian Eye Show. This is Dr. Christopher Tortora. We're on the air live Saturday morning, and if you have a question for us and you'd like to give us a call, There is a phone number you can reach us at here at the KHVH Radio. It's 521-8383. If you want to call us from the neighbor islands, there is a toll-free number as well. It's 1-888-565-8383. And we'd like to certainly try to answer your questions. As I mentioned to the last caller, sometimes some of the questions do involve recommending an examination of your eyes because it's very hard to tell just based on the particular description of the problem, what's going on. So I can never really tell you for sure, but I can maybe give you some ideas about what might be going on in the eyes if you want to give us a call. 521-8383. Let's talk about some of the things that have been going on in the news around the world of eyes in the past several weeks. I have an article here about the Los Angeles Latino Eye Study, and it's looking at risk factors for lens opacification. That means clouding of the lens inside the eye, which is also known as cataract. Cloudy lens in the eye is a cataract. And that clouding of the lens can certainly blur the vision over time. And so we want to know what the risk factors are for people to develop this type of lens clouding or cataract. So it says here, improved glycemic control, which means getting your diabetes under control, smoking cessation and prevention, or not smoking, and blood pressure control may help to reduce the risk of developing lens opacities and associated vision loss, according to the results of the Los Angeles Latino Eye Study published in the journal Ophthalmology. The population-based cross-sectional study included 5,900 Latinos 40 years of age or older from 6 census tracts in Los Angeles, California. Participants underwent an interview and detailed eye examination, including the testing their best corrected visual acuity and assessment of the lens opacities using an opacity classification system. So they looked to see what the risk factors might be associated with each type of lens opacity. So of the nearly 6,000 participants with gradable lenses, 468 had certain form of lens opacities. We'll just go, it goes on and says that that there were a number of people that had lens opacities of different types. They said older age, higher hemoglobin A1C, or poorly controlled diabetes, and history of diabetes were independent risk factors for cortical-only lens opacities. Older age, smoking, and being nearsighted were independent risk factors for nuclear lens opacities, and high blood pressure and history of diabetes were independent risk factors for posterior subcapsular lens opacities. So it sounds like any types of lens opacities, older age, nearsightedness, having a refractive error or needing glasses, history of diabetes, high blood pressure, and presence of early macular degeneration changes all meant that people were at higher risk for lens opacities or cloudiness in the lens inside the eye. And so this is interesting. This is something that's probably not a total surprise, but it is something that is nice to see in a nice analysis of a large number of people, nearly 6,000 people, participants in the study, in which they looked at these things. And so it does. So we know for sure that as you get older, cloudiness of the lens in the eye is more common, and that's why age seems to be a risk factor, because people develop cataracts as they age. So as you get older, that's when cataracts develop, and that's what happens as you get older. If the diabetes is interesting too, because it's been kind of argued back and forth whether diabetes is a risk factor for cataracts. But it does look like, based on this study, the diabetes, and particularly diabetes with poor control of the blood sugar, is a significant risk factor for cataract or for clouding of the lens in the eye. So that's something to bear in mind. Now, diabetes does cause a lot of different types of changes in the eyes, not only cataracts, but it also causes retinopathy, what we call diabetic retinopathy, which is a vascular change in the back of the eye, the blood vessels in the eye, which are essential for delivering oxygen and energy for the delicate retinal tissue, which is very active metabolically. Whenever something is doing a lot of work, whether it's muscles or special nerve sensor cells, like in the back of the eye, or muscles, like when you're doing push-ups or jogging, that tissue is referred to as being metabolically active. That means that the a tissue is expending energy, or it requires energy to keep working. And so whether it's a muscle that needs blood flow and oxygen to the muscle to keep it pumping and moving, and that's why you start getting a shorter breath when you jog, because you need more oxygen flow, and that's why you get your heart moving faster to get more oxygen flowing to that area. Same thing happens in the eye. The eye needs, in order to be able to see, it needs a good supply of oxygen to power the cells. And so there are a lot of blood vessels in the back of the eye. And with diabetes, these blood vessels can get fragile and can start to leak and break. And when these blood vessels leak and break, that blood inside the back of the eye in the retina causes damage to the tissue, to that sensitive nerve tissue, retina tissue in the back of the eye. So when that happens, it can lead to more serious problems inside the eye. So if these abnormal blood vessels are found and taken care of early on in diabetic retinopathy, then the progression of the problem can often be controlled or stopped. Of course, controlling the blood sugar, controlling the general health with diabetes is critical, but we can also sometimes arrest some of the changes inside the eyes as they occur or as they develop. And so getting an eye examination on a regular basis is important for people who have diabetes, not just because there's an increased risk of cataracts with diabetes, but also because of the risk of retinopathy or retinal changes related to the diabetes. All right, next news story here. This news story says a significant global shortfall of trained eye doctors is occurring now and will in the future. It says here, despite more than 200,000 ophthalmologists in practice around the globe, capacity is not keeping pace with the growing demands of aging populations and the current needs of developing countries, according to research published online in the British Journal of Ophthalmology. The authors based their findings on an International Council of Ophthalmology survey sent to 213 specialist ophthalmic societies covering 193 countries between March and April of 2010. The survey was designed to find out the head count of practicing ophthalmologists in each country and growth rate of the profession. The responses from 192 countries showed that there were about 205,000 ophthalmologists in 2010, half of whom were in China, Russia, US, Japan, Brazil, and India. The number of ophthalmologists by country ranged from zero to more than 28,000 in China. Some 131 countries had less than 5% of the total number between them. So 5% of the practicing medical eye doctors or ophthalmologists, eye surgeons, were 5% of them were in 131 countries. So that means that there are certain countries that have a good population and a lot of countries that don't have a huge number of eye surgeons. The average number of ophthalmologists per million in the population varied according to the level of economic development, ranging from 9 per million in low-income countries to 79 per million in high-income countries, an eightfold difference. The lowest average number was in sub-Saharan Africa, 2.7 per million, while the highest numbers were in former communist regimes, 83 per million, which is a 30-fold difference, big difference across the world. There were fewer than one ophthalmologist per million of the population in 23 countries and 1 to 4 per million in 30 countries. In 48 countries, there were 4 to 25 per million and 25 to 100 per million in 74 countries. Just 18 countries had more than 100 ophthalmologists per million of the population. 73 countries, representing more than half of the world's population, provided data on those entering and leaving the profession in 2009. Of these, two-thirds showed an increase. In five countries, the numbers fell, while in 20 countries, the numbers remained static. Okay, so what does all this mean? Let's see. In 2010, the number of ophthalmologists increased by 1.2%, which occurred in most of which occurred in low-income countries. While the overall capacity is increasing faster than the general population, this is not the case in high-income countries where the reverse is true. So in higher-income countries, the population of doctors is increasing less quickly than the population of people in the country. So that's interesting. So basically, what does that mean? Well, it means that as our population ages and more people require eye care worldwide, that there is going to be a shortage of eye surgeons, which means that conditions like cataract in countries like African countries and in India where there's a large population, conditions like cataract, which are treated surgically, are going to become significantly more of a problem, and people are going to be going blind from cataracts, and particularly in third world countries where it is a very treatable disease. What does it mean for the U.S.? Well, it probably doesn't mean too much here for now, but in the next 20 years, there is likely to be a relative shortage of eye specialists as current eye doctors retire, and there are not as many eye doctors coming out of the ranks of training programs to replace them. And so what it probably means is that, like in all fields of medicine, particularly in primary care, where doctors who deliver the primary care of medicine, or take care of a broad range of things, coordinate between different specialists and so forth, are becoming an increasingly short supply. Similar thing is going to happen in eye care, is that it's going to require an effort of a joint effort between the different types of eye care providers to make sure that the population's needs are met in this country even. And while currently there are, in most parts of the country, there are plenty of eye surgeons or ophthalmologists like myself to take care of a broad range of problems, it will probably increasingly become the case, particularly in areas where eye surgeons are not as common, where eye surgeons pretty much just do eye surgery, and then other eye care providers, such as optometrists, and in some places opticians, may take on the role of taking care of people's general eye health when they have non-surgical or non-medical conditions that can be managed by providers that have a different level of care, who are not surgeons and medical doctors. And so that's something that will be interesting to see how that pans out, both in this country and, of course, worldwide. Worldwide, I don't know what the solution is. There just aren't enough doctors being trained and going into third world communities, poorer countries, where their needs are really needed, where their skills, as I should say, are really needed. Let's take a short break, and when we get back, we'll talk a little bit more about news on eyes over the past several weeks, so stay tuned.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
With the latest technology, cataract care is often a fast, painless procedure with a rapid return to normal vision and normal activities.
It doesn't hurt. It just takes, 15, 20 minutes the most, and you're out. That's it.
We strive to make your procedure safe and painless. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
The phone lines are open at 521-8383. And from the neighbor islands, 1-888-565-8383. Now, back to Dr. Christopher Tortora, our host of the Hawaiian Eye Show.
A brown-eyed girl.
This is Dr. Christopher Tortora. You're listening to the Hawaiian Eye Show, and we're talking about eyes, surprisingly enough. Why? It's called the Eye Show. There you go. If you want to find out more about eyes, you can always check out our website. It's www.hawaiianeye.com. You can find information about cataracts, glaucoma, pterygium, red eyes, retinal problems, diabetes in the eyes, all kinds of things right there on the website. If you also want to listen to more radio programs, you can go ahead and click on the radio show button, and that'll take you right to a page where you can listen to previous radio programs from the past several months, or you can go ahead and subscribe to our podcast. The podcast will get those radio programs to your mobile device on a regular basis, usually about a week after the broadcast of the program itself. So you should get a new podcast every week. And that will get you a little bit more information about the eyes as well. A lot of people say, oh, I tuned into you as I was driving from point A to point B, but then I had to turn off the radio because I left the car. Well, for those people, if you do want to hear more, there's always the podcast option, or listen to us online. You can find us, as I said, on www.hawaiianeye.com. Also look for us on Facebook, facebook.com/Hawaiian Eye Center, and get information about what's going on with the Hawaiian Eye Center team, what kinds of special offers we've got in the office going on, and what types of interesting things are going on in the eye news around the world. A lot of things you can do with social media nowadays, giving people more information, more options in terms of looking at what's going on in your given field. So it's actually been for people who like to use the computer, it's been a nice asset to have the availability of different social media to get information out there to people who want information. All right, let's see, what other news stories do we have here from the past couple of weeks? We've got an article here about a new vitamin with that's supposed to help with macular degeneration. This was a press release from a company called Lipo Triad, and so they introduced a new eye vitamin for the reduction of risk for macular degeneration. It's called Lipo Triad Visionary. So it's based on research of the National Institute of Health, includes some lutein, some omega-3 fish oils, and these ingredients have, in some studies, been suggested to reduce the likelihood of progression of macular degeneration over time. So that's interesting. We've got a story here about eye allergies. It says here, eye allergies disrupt daily activities and impact performance and appearance, according to a survey. It says, spring can be a difficult time for the 1 in 5 individuals affected by seasonal eye allergies. For many vision-corrected individuals, meaning they wear glasses or contacts, eye allergy symptoms such as itchy, watery, or red eyes often keep them from enjoying daily activities, affect their appearance, and impact their performance at work, school, and during sports, according to a survey conducted by Harris Interactive on behalf of Vistacon Division, which is a contact lens manufacturer. According to the online survey of 755 eye allergy sufferers aged 18 and older who wear glasses, contact lenses, or both, more than 2 in 5, which is 41%, say they suffer from mild to moderate eye allergy symptoms on a daily basis. Women in particular note that eye allergy symptoms often make them look like they've been crying, 48% of them said that. Frequent rubbing of the eyes often causes their makeup to come off, 47% complained about that. As a result, many report that their red, puffy eyes make them look tired and unattractive. That was 38% of the respondents said that were women. 1 in 3 survey respondents say that they wear contact lenses only in conjunction with glasses, or in conjunction with glasses, with 84% reporting they wear reusable contacts that they replace either monthly or every 1 to 2 weeks. Among contact lens wearers surveyed, 39% say they wear their contacts less often when they have their allergies, and about 1 in 5 say they either remove their contacts during the day or don't wear them at all due to allergy symptoms. So, interesting. It says that many contact lens wearers with allergies say their allergy symptoms make them feel uncomfortable when they're wearing their contact lenses. And the doctor quoted says, allergy season is particularly challenging for some contact lens wearers because of allergies and other irritants that can build up in the contacts over time, leading to discomfort and symptoms such as itching, tearing, and redness. Chemical disinfectants and preservatives used in some contact lens systems can also affect the surface of the eye when it is in an allergic state. So basically the eye is a little bit more sensitive, a little more vulnerable when it's suffering from allergy, and as a result it may be the contact lenses may be affected more. So the following advice is recommended by this article for allergy sufferers. It says, find out what causes your allergy and avoid the trigger. If pollen is what bothers you, then try to stay indoors during the peak allergy season with air conditioning on, if possible, and minimize the amount of time you're in the wind, which blows allergens around. Be cautious with allergy pills that claim to ease allergy symptoms. Quite frequently, Allergy medications can make the eyes dry. So if you must take an allergy pill, it's a better idea to take it at night when it's less likely to impact the drying of the surface of the eyes. It may not be as bothersome. Talk to your doctor about what medications may be best for you. Use transient preserved or non-preserved preservative-free artificial tear drops. People who suffer from eye allergy symptoms also find the preservatives in artificial tears can cause discomfort. Consider allergy drops, which are prescribed by a doctor, and maybe put them in before the contact lenses go in the morning and after they come out in the evening, so you don't put them in when you're wearing the contacts, if you wear contacts. Take more frequent showers to wash away allergens, and at night, turn off ceiling fans, as allergens and dust are easily picked up by a fan. Take a cool washcloth and place it over the eyes for swelling and discomfort. Relax for a bit with the washcloth over the eyes to relieve symptoms. Well, those are all good pieces of advice. The other thing that I will add to that is that, as they said, there are a number of prescription medications that seem to be helpful in reducing the symptoms of allergy. There are ones that are advertised fairly commonly on TV and radio, which you may have heard of, like Pataday, Patanol, and these are anti-allergy medications. There are a number of other ones available, probably 5 or 8 of them that I can think of offhand that also help to reduce allergy symptoms. So some work well for one person that don't work as well for another. Others work well for other people. So there are different options for different people, and using prescription allergy drops may be helpful. Over-the-counter allergy drops, some people ask what they can use over-the-counter. For acute itching and redness, if you're only going to use it once in a while, some of these preparations like Visine Allergy or Nafcon A or Vasocon A, these anti-allergy, anti-itch medications can be helpful over-the-counter for a red, itchy, uncomfortable eye, and they'll work temporarily to help soothe that for a short term. But if you want something that's going to control the symptoms on a longer term, you need something that's going to be a little longer acting. Over-the-counter, there is a preparation known as Zaditor, which is an over-the-counter anti-allergy medication. And this does help to reduce allergy symptoms when it's taken on a regular and ongoing basis. And so basically something like Zaditor needs to be used twice a day for several days in a row or even a week or two to help reduce the symptoms so that it doesn't continue to cause problems off and on. So for acute allergy symptoms, over-the-counter medications like Visine and Nafcon A, Vasocon A can be helpful, but you need something a little bit more long-term, maybe even prescription for the chronic control of the allergic symptoms. So that's something to keep in mind. If your eyes are itchy, red, and it happens more during certain seasons, then the likelihood is you have allergies. We've been here now for an hour already talking about eyes and eye care, and I've certainly had a lot of fun, and I hope you have too. I'd like to say thanks to all you listeners for making the show work through your calls and through your email. If you enjoyed our program today, be sure to tell your friends about us. And if you learned something new, be sure to listen again next week. If you have a question, you can always email it to us. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com, and we can answer those questions over the air in coming weeks. Don't forget to check out our website at www.hawaiianeye.com, Facebook page at facebook.com/hawaiianeyecenter, or follow me on Twitter. That's Dr. Tortora. Twitter.com/drtortora or at Dr. Tortora. It's sure been a pleasure talking with you. I'll keep my eyes peeled for you, and I hope you'll keep an eye out for us. The Hawaiian Eye Show is sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, with offices in central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. I'm Dr. Christopher Tortora. Thanks for listening. Aloha.
You've been listening to the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, with Harvard-trained eye surgeon Dr. Christopher Tortora. If you have an eye problem, want to get a second opinion, or aren't seeing as well as you used to, make an appointment with Dr. Tortora or one of the doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center in Central Oahu or Hilo by calling C-2020. That's 733-2020. Until next week, here's looking at you.
Life has never looked better with Hawaiian Eye Center.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
America's Anchorman, Rush Limbaugh.
It's the most gutless choice one can make. Be a liberal.
Every weekday morning at 10, KHVH, Honolulu.
Hawaii's home for Fox News.